Hello, everyone. I'm Alicia Swamy. I'm here with my co-host, Eric Johnson, Keely Severson, and we are Exposing Molds. Today, we have Kim Rogers on. She's a TikTok star under the name Mrs. Rogers Hood. Now, you reached out to us. You seem to be a big fan of ours on TikTok. I recently just started our TikTok page, or at least mine, for Exposing Mold. Keely has had hers for a while. That's how I found you. So we'd love to learn more about you and how you became this awesome TikTok star.
It's funny. TikTok star. I started a TikTok account to talk about mushrooms and to show our log home build and to follow my nieces. So that's kind of how it started. And then I've been on TikTok since about 2019. And just had like a normal account and showed our progress on our log home build that my husband and I did ourselves. And then one day in July of 2021, I had done a parasite cleanse. My health was declining, so that I'm a self-healer. And it started to decline, and I've been watching TikTok and they had said to try a parasite cleanse. So I did. And then I made a video and it went viral. 10.1 million people have viewed that video. And so I talked about, you know, just having Western medicine and kind of where this is a downfall for them, because I worked in Western medicine for over 18 years. So I decided to kind of talk a little bit about it, and then it went viral and I just kind of went from there. And yeah, so I created my own kit out of necessity. It's very expensive to cleanse. And then when I was on a break from cleansing is when I found out I had mold. So I'm actually doing a mold kit to help people start to cleanse their systems even more and get mitochondria support. And it launches on Sunday. So I just kind of ran with it. There wasn't really a plan. I just kind of started and I'm like, well, I have the knowledge and people don't seem to really understand it because we just buried our heads in sand in Western medicine. Countries. So
after your build, is that when the mold issue happened, or what's
during our build?
Your situation.
Yeah. So my husband and I had a piece of property, and we live in the Pacific Northwest. So it's very rainy here. It rains a lot. We live on the outskirts of the Ho rainforest, so it rains even more. And we bought a travel trailer that we had lived in prior for just a few months. And then we bought this land and then we put the logs down on the land. And then we started to build it. And so we were living in our travel trailer while we were doing that. And it was the tail end of our build. We had mold the whole time, is what we've kind of looked back and figured it all out, that we've had mold this whole time, but it just was being covered up by so many other things. Parasites first. We had parasites in our water up here. The community uses a community well, and it has roundworm in it. And we found out by testing the water ourselves. And now we have mass amounts of filtration. So once we figured out where the source of the parasites were coming from, and then we turned around and we fixed that. And then I was cleansing and I still was getting sick. And I couldn't figure out what else to do. So I went back to my doctors and asked them.
Got it. Yeah. As we know, being exposed to mold really suppresses the immune system. So you're not really allowed to fight off whatever's happening in your body. So the whole time it sounded like it was more of a mold issue than a parasite issue. But because...
Oh, no, it was a parasite issue first. No, I had Cryptosporidium parvium, which affects your body in a very weird way. And I also had pinworms and roundworm. My husband had Giardia defragilis. Once you remove all of those layers, then they start releasing those spores. So that's why my body wasn't reacting at the beginning to the mold exposure that we had had multiple exposures. Our last house we realized had some mold. But once I started cleaning out my house, my body, it actually showed all of the different spores I had. I had Aspergillus niger and Cladosporidium, which were at toxic levels.
Got it. Okay. So that, it's just such a hard thing to deal with your health and mold and the parasite thing. Eric, do you have anything you want to add to that?
Do all the people who are drinking that water have these same parasite problems?
Mm-hmm. But they don't recognize it up here. It's quite weird the way it all went down. We let our community know that we had independently tested our water, and we let, so we were just a regular forest community, and then they came in and they did an HOA. So the president of the HOA that owns, you know, how HOAs work, we told them, we gave them our stool samples because they're all blood, or they're all waterborne parasites. So we gave them that, and then we gave them our water testing, and they said, there's no way. So then they brought a zoologist from the state of Washington in, who just tested a very small amount of our water. We tested multiple different sources around our property and one off of our property, and they all came back positive for the same worm, roundworm. So, but yeah, they're aware. They haven't done anything. It's been like 2 years now.
Where are you at with your health now? Are you still feeling symptoms? What's going on in that arena?
I am 8 months into pretty intense mold cleansing now. So I did a year and a half of parasite cleansing almost every month. I would take breaks. And that's where we figured out that I had mold poisoning, was when I took a break from parasite cleansing. And then currently I'm still in like a detox self-healing, but I'm definitely on a completely different path than I was even last year. Right before the Zoom, I went and looked at my last year, because you know, you get those pop-ups and stuff where they're like, this day last year or the year before. I'm like, oh my God, I'm totally different. I've lost so much weight. My hair has stopped falling out in like huge clumps. My biggest indication was my eyes were swelling shut, and I'm on TikTok every day, so I can see myself. And it was quite frightening because literally they were swollen shut. And I'm like, there's no way I'm going to go to a doctor and have any Western medicine facility be like, oh, this is what it is. They're going to try and give me drops or creams. And I'm like, I know something else is going on. So all of those are starting to pop up, because it was about this time, because we shut our trailer and turned our air conditioning on because it was hot, and we had a leak before, which we thought we did ozone, and we thought that we remediated it in that trailer. And we also had bought a travel trailer mattress, and they actually have a lawsuit against them, not by us, but by mass amounts of people, because it had black toxic mold in the mattress. So we thought we had like remediated everything, and then come to find out, I mean, travel trailers are not really great homes. They're meant to have you live in them temporarily. There's no ventilation. So we fast-tracked and got in here. Like, we literally stopped everything we were doing and just worked on this house to get us in. So we're like 50% in this house. 50% upstairs is not done, but downstairs is done. We've already checked our air here. We also, just to go back to the worms in the water, we also have mass amounts of filtration systems on our property. So the water that comes from the road is put through a 3-filter system with a UV light. And then the water comes to our house, also has a UV light on our house. And then we have 7 filters before we even can touch it, drink it. And that's pretty much what saved us before. We had filters on all of our water systems on our travel trailer. So we got sick because, you know, you brush your teeth with the water, you don't think about that. You shower. Sometimes you open your mouth when you're showering. I wear contacts, so I washed my hands. I had one in my eye. You know, it just compounded. And then all of a sudden you bring in the next environmental toxin that wants to take you out. And it just really made my health terrible.
So it sounds like you were parasite cleansing, and then it wasn't fully working, and then you discovered the mold. So then are you then telling your clients that you sell your kit to that if it's not working for them, to look into the mold? Or how are you advising people?
Oh, no, it worked. I was completely parasite free. I got tested every 3 months, and I had no more parasites. I didn't have an amoeba. I didn't have
sick, right? You were still sick.
Well, yeah, because I had mold poisoning. I removed the parasites, which parasites and mold live together in your body, and they like shelter with each other. And I removed their best friend. And then all of a sudden the mold started taking over my body, presenting symptoms. But there's also herbs that go into the parasite, which my kit is called Parify. So there's herbs in there. Wormwood is an anti-mold herb. We also use Ceylon cinnamon, which also helps break down different strains of mold. So when I was taking my parasite cleanse, I was fine. And that's because I was breaking it down, but I wasn't fully ridding it of my body. And I was still living in it. So it was compounding. Did you have something to say, Eric?
Yeah. Have you found other people in this area that are similarly dealing with parasites and mold?
Yes. But I'm not really very local. I don't really talk to my neighbors. They think that it's really strange what I do. So we don't really discuss it. We've told like three of our neighbors. We've told the people that needed to be told. And then we've told a few of our neighbors. But I mostly help people all on social media because they want to be helped, but they don't want to be helped here. We have multiple neighbors that have mold in their house, and we know they have parasites because they're taking in our water. And it's just most people, when you say parasites, they put their head in the sand, they argue with you, they don't want to learn anything, and they don't really want to know. So I've done my best locally, like in person, but my work is all on social media. And that's our company is an e-commerce company. We're based out of Arkansas. Arkansas loves us. I talk to people in person in Jonesboro all the time when I go down to our shop and visit. But in Washington, they don't want to know. It's really kind of sad.
Is there any reason to believe these parasites weren't always in the water?
I mean, parasites are in our water in our country because we don't test in our country for parasites. We test for bacteria.
That's a normal part of the environment. Mm-hmm.
It is, but you should be cleansing like other countries cleanse 2 to 3 times a year. They take a pill. It's super easy. It's like $7. You go to the pharmacia, you got some stomach ache, you go in, you take a synthetic driven medication and you're done. And that's what they've done in other countries like Mexico and Guatemala and Latin America and Korea. But we've never done that. It got pushed out of Western medicine for some reason. They just don't believe that our country could have parasites. And that's really a sad thing because our country has them. We eat other countries' food that do cleanse, and it doesn't stop at the border with dirt, right? So we have the same dirt. There's hookworm, there's roundworm. Your dog gets worms. You deworm your dog hangs out with you, it licks you. You pick up your dog's poop, you know, your dog can go poop, and then the rain comes down and flushes eggs into your soil and you're grounding. So
yeah, and then there's cats with the Bartonella. Well, we always say cats, and it didn't seem used to be a problem.
Yep, it is. It's a huge problem. Actually, it's always been a problem. I think that 100 years ago, we just kind of stopped discussing it and stopped thinking about it in that sense. So the way you guys see mold is the way that parasites are as well for a community, because it's not really looked at first, which it's very easy. It's a very simple process. Literally, people that do the Parify kit for 30 days usually do see some form of a worm. They don't want us to believe that that's possible, but I had a mass amount of liver flukes because I used to eat sushi and salmon. So it really is kind of disappointing that it's such an easy process to figure out. And it's kind of that first layer of people that are chronically ill. And it's just combining herbs is all we've done with our kits.
I grew up in the mountains at Lake Tahoe. I spent my whole life pretty much in the mountains. And we used to think of water with all of its parasites and bacteria mm-hmm. and stuff in it as being perfectly good. We never regarded it as toxic or any kind of a problem.
Yeah. I used to live in Reno. That's where my husband and I met. I have family in Gardnerville.
Gardnerville?
Gardnerville and Minden. Yeah, I mean, same. I grew up in South Dakota where, you know, we like did the water. But the difference is that you have to cleanse. That's the thing that's the missing key in our society is really just going through and giving our body a good flush with antiparasitics. Whether you can get your hands on, which it's very difficult. They very much gatekeep an antiparasitic in Western medicine countries. So my husband and I went to the Caribbean last month, and we got off the ship and we walked to the pharmacy, and it was $7 for a 5-day supply of antiparasitics. Those exact antiparasitics are $1,000 in our country. Same ones, same amount. It's 6 pills. That's sad because other countries, they start to feel funny. They take a pill, they poop out worms, and then they can live with their life. The Amish do it. They are very ritualistic about doing it. They make sure that they also, even though that they grow their own vegetables and they have their own cows, if the cow gets loose and goes drinks out of a stream, which it goes into the system, goes into the blood, the tissue, and the muscle, and then we eat that cow and you don't cook it properly, the first thing they do if you don't feel good is they have you sit in a milk bath and they have you do an antiparasitic. Like, and then they go through and go, okay, well, that wasn't it. That wasn't it. That wasn't it. It's very simple. This is a very simple process that we just don't do.
Did you ever see Dr. Frank Schellenberg down in Carson City, the parasite doctor?
No, this has all happened in the last 3 years for us.
Oh, yeah. He was basically Parasite Central, oh gosh, 25 years ago. And
nothing's changed.
Gardnerville, yeah, Carson really? Area were going to him, and he was testing and treating for parasites. And it was kind of a curious thing because we wondered where all these parasites coming from. They weren't a problem before. So I watched his treatments over the years. And it seemed like, well, these were kind of normal in the environment. And without the mold, they really hadn't been much of a problem.
Yeah, unfortunately, they are, though.
Eric, what do you think is happening with the parasites and the mold?
Well, I just have to look at, you know, what came first? What changed? And when the water was tested, we found that the parasites, the amoebas and the bacteria in the water hadn't really changed much. Well, that's when I kicked my interest over to the mold.
Yeah. Mine was very similar. I removed all the parasites. So there's no way I could have had mold poisoning. That's what I really truly believed. There was no way I had done all these things, right? Like, and then also, we were probably in a little denial because my health was declining so rapidly when we moved out to our property. I actually was coming out here to not be alive anymore because my health was so bad. I was deteriorating at a very, very fast rate. And come to find out, it was because of Cryptosporidium parvium, which was because we came out here and had this as a recreational property. And then I think the mold just compounded it. I also had endometriosis and adenomyosis, and I had had 13 surgeries. So my health was very much crappy. My mom had sarcoidosis, which is derivative of mold. And I had pinworms as a kid, but never went away. So like, I think the combination of everything just, and then the mold just was like the icing on the cake for us out here. But
you didn't happen to go to the Powwow Lou school, did you?
No, I didn't go to Powwow, but I know that school. I actually ran a couple colleges in Reno. That's what I used to do for a living before I got really sick, is I ran and worked with the University of Nevada, UNR. And then I also ran Carrington. I worked with Truckee Community College.
Yeah, I do a bit of a mold tour where I take people who we suspect of being hypersensitive to the bad places. And Minden Gardnerville is on the list.
Yeah, and that's where my nieces live.
We just
drive through and people start reacting.
Oh my God. We had to flee from there not too long ago. About a year. What? When were we there, Eric? A year ago? Minden Gardnerville felt like so terrible. But it's interesting that you've lived there and everything, because that's where CFS started, right, Eric, at Truckee High School?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I don't know if you want to tell her a little bit about that. I'm sure you do.
Well, 35 years ago, people were getting sick for no apparent reason. And the CDC and NIH and every researcher you can imagine descended on Lake Tahoe with all their various theories. And they tested for parasites and bacteria and every virus they could think of. They tested the water, couldn't make heads or tails of it. And what emerged out of this whole thing is the common denominator of mold exposure.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of kicked it up into a priority list for me. So that's where the mold tour came from, is since the doctors weren't looking into the mold factor, I adopted the simple expedient of taking people who were diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome to the bad places and saying, okay, how do you feel? And they would start screaming bloody murder.
Yeah, that's how I feel now. Now that I know what to look for, I think that once people understand what to look for, that's definitely. But I grew up in South Dakota, but my husband grew up in Nevada, and there is a lot of mold out there.
Yeah. And so a lot of the people that chronic fatigue syndrome suffers went to this Dr. Schellenberg down in Carson City, got treatment for parasites, didn't do a thing. They kept falling apart. So then we would concentrate on their mold problems and they would start doing mold avoidance. And then finally they would start to get better.
Yeah. I'll never forget when I was rapidly declining in my health. I also threw medicine at parasites. I mean, I was doing herbals and pharmaceuticals, I guess. It did provide some relief. I'm not going to lie. It definitely helped me like regain some quality of life, but I never addressed the mold because I never knew the mold was the issue because everyone was telling me it was this, it was that, it was the parasites. It was the, you know, maybe you're crazy. You know, if you go to a regular doctor, you're crazy. If you go to a naturopath, it's parasites, it's viruses, it's whatever, Lyme. And then once I started addressing the mold, that's when my health, I went from death to like back to life. I mean, if I didn't do avoidance or focus on the mold for me personally, I'd either be dead or be in the bed or wheelchair bound. I mean, so they're definitely, I guess, for short-term relief, I guess parasite cleansing could be helpful, but I guess addressing the root cause of whatever suppressing the immune system, which we know mold can do, I think definitely is like step one for a lot of people. But you know, no one's telling them this, but we are. So hopefully they
hear. Well, I'm really curious, what went wrong? How did all this come about? Did the parasites increase? Did the mold get worse? Was it both? Mm-hmm. That's what we're looking into.
For me personally, or you think for everyone? I think
everyone.
The last 100 years, we've never discussed it, and it's been written out of the history of medicine. And I've authored books, and I know when you put something in there and your word becomes gold, that it's not something that continues to then play a part in it, right? Like you start to change the wording of things, you start to relook at things. When I would teach people, I wouldn't teach them about parasites. I helped teach lab people, and they got 3 minutes for parasites. We never had the experience. Insurance does not pay for any of these testings that are extra or specialty and were run by insurance. Like they run our doctors, they run our medicine. So when they're not going to pay for something and you don't have that $1,000 to get EBV, CMV, Aspergillus, Clado, when you don't have that money, you're just not going to do it. And unfortunately, most of our country doesn't have that money anymore. They also don't realize how easy it is to have mold grow and how much parasites and mold do live together. And the reason why a lot of people do so well on Parify is because wormwood is an anti-mold herb. It can be utilized in that way. The problem is you can't come in and kill the spores. It's going to release them. Fennel needs to come in. So if they're not giving you the correct herb way, and you're not going in and boosting your mitochondria, then you are not going to feel good. And that was the problem, is I was doing all these cleanses that were just for parasites and not specific to that. But I don't feel like there's enough knowledge anymore. We kind of lost our way. I feel like people are going to come out even more with mold issues because of lockdowns in 2020. You know, people were afraid to even open up their windows. They were masking their face. So you look at the perpetual amount of issues we're having now. One, social media has brought a huge, huge wave to all of the people that are like, why am I not feeling good? And then you start to slowly check off those little lists of, okay, well, it's parasites. Okay, that's easy fix, right? Okay, well, I still don't feel very great. Okay, it's mold. Okay, great. You know, you start to remediate, you start to look at the different options like we're all doing now. This is what's changing it.
Can I ask you if, like, I noticed when I joined TikTok, shortly after I joined TikTok, that, you know, and as an herbalist, this really got my attention. I noticed that parasites suddenly were popular on TikTok, and it was trending, and like everyone wanted to talk about parasites. And I was wondering, did you kick that whole thing off?
Yeah. Yeah. My nickname is Worm Queen. It was Doll Worm Queen, but we dropped name. Worm Queen. So it's me. Kim, I'm Worm Queen. The Worm Queen.
Yeah, you put in the thing. Okay, so this is my question. It seems like after you blew up on TikTok and got everyone thinking, talking, treating parasites, that like suddenly there were these very well-groomed TikTok profiles that were medical professionals that were coming in to rest assured that you don't have to worry about parasites for any reason at all. Rest assured that they're only on food and water and other drinks that are imported into our countries and freshwater, which we swim in every single summer, but you don't have to worry about it. And it just seemed like, did somebody put, I don't know if I'm paranoid, but it seemed like they were like kind of planted there to counter this narrative that you were spreading. And I just want to know if you had that same impression.
Oh yeah, every day. And I've had death threats. I've been doxxed. Well, close to being doxxed. I mean, it's a subject and it's quite frightening. So as when Eric was talking about the mold, that is how it is with parasites as well. We are totally told we're full of it and this is all a lie. And even though they're haters, that's okay, because the haters that have big accounts, please. It just brought me to a whole nother level on TikTok when they were coming in saying that I was lying and that this isn't true and that there's no way this happened.
The attack actually made you more popular.
Oh my God. So much. We spiked.
Like, that's it. We need to start telling the truth and pissing everyone off.
I was like, please. Now I did have to put my account to private because their cronies come in and attack my account. And I did get taken down. I've actually been permanently banned from 26 different accounts. And last year I was permanently banned from TikTok for 6 days. And I've had, I was permanently banned twice on Instagram, but I have a lawyer and we fight it and we get my accounts back. Cause this is a business now. Like, we really are trying to expose all of what we're talking about here. This is our jam. We like to talk about how they just don't want to dig in. But the guy that led that force, the guy that did that in June, that really pushed it forward for the negative side of it, he is actually only 4 years into school and he's a resident right now in the psychiatric unit in the UK. And so I have many more years of college under my belt with healthcare than he did. And so we were able to kind of, he said I was pseudoscience. And I'm like, I mean, the pseudoscience means it's fake. And like, there's physical worms here. This isn't fake. So.
Yeah, I noticed anything that they want to try to discredit, they make an action plan for. Like, you might end up on Quack Watch so that they can publicize. And that's how you know that you are like going against the mainstream medical system, which is probably the best thing you can do for your health today.
You have to. You have to. If there isn't something out there talking about it, then there's, and it's real, you have to be able, you have to stick up for yourself. No one else is gonna. And that's really what our whole thing is about, is being your own patient advocate. You have to stick up for yourself. They are just people like you. Doctors are just people like you. I believe Western medicine and herbs, traditional, need to be together. I've watched it physically myself work, but they won't open up their mind. They won't open up their horizon to help you with that. You know what I mean? And that's where those Western medicine doctors come in and they say that we're all full of it. And I'm like, well, you're just full of worms. So that's okay. You can just keep your worms and be unhappy and live in your mold. And we're all over here going to be taking our herbs, chilling happy.
That's so true. Like, you just be over there miserable. When I picture that of like, the people who will acknowledge what makes them sick and the people who won't, it's like a zombie apocalypse scenario where they're like chasing after us, trying to kill us.
We have to like fight
them off. Like, no, I don't want your dead zombie brain. I'm trying to survive over here. Get away from me. And
we'll have the energy because we know we're healers. We know what we're doing. But on the side real quick of the worm queen, I was working with another company, not being paid, Paragard. I was talking about them and I did not like that their ingredients were not natural, fully natural. It was processed in a lab and they had just natural ingredients and then caramel coloring in it. And I'm like, wait a minute, we're trying to heal our bodies and I don't need additional stuff in my system. And so I just found that when you just take Paragard, it is so detrimental to your body that you need to have Oregon grapefruit behind it. I use Usnea in ours. So it helps with the bacteria that's being dropped by the parasites. And then I also have another supporting tincture that has, Red Artist, which we use mushrooms. And then we also use cilantro. Everything that's in our kit you can read it. Like, we're not gatekeeping our herbs. Like, we tell you everything that's in it. Yes, it's great, the kit's there, but we're really giving people a service because they have been all tossed aside. You can email my team anytime. You can go into my DMs. I answer everything. I have a team that answers everything. And we direct people where we need to go. And that's what I took from going viral, not trying to start a business. I took that I was tossed aside by Western medicine for my entire life. And it's not fair. And I was alone in my healing. And it was really sad. And it was really uncomfortable. And I hated it. And I vowed that if I ever had a platform, that I personally would make sure that people never felt alone, that were in the process of healing themselves. Because when you are with a group, and when you are with your tribe, you heal better. If you just have someone to just write it all out and get it all out, then that's what I allow people to do in my DMs. I allow them to just write it out. And then I'm like, I'm here for you. And like, the kit's just a bonus, right? Like, that's how I pay my team. So that's what I wanted to come on here and talk about with you guys, because it is really important that what is the next step? If you get off the parasites and you still feel like crap, like I did, what's the next step? You have mold. Look at it. Let's be together and hold our hands. And then maybe you tell your doctor what you need them to do for you. You need to be your own advocate. I told my doctor, I need mold testing. I need this. I need to look at this. And then I can go from there. So.
Awesome. Thank you for being so genuine. I really felt that from you and I appreciate it. And I think Healy wants to talk herbs with you. So I'll hook you guys up after this conversation. You guys can chat about herbal stuff.
Collaborate on a tincture.
Yeah, we could.
A tincture I use for mold rage.
Oh, that would be awesome.
It's like my go-to.
Yeah, that would be great because I have mold rage and I try and teach people what mold rage is. And then I try and help them understand that their significant others also need to know that they have mold rage so that they don't ruin their relationships.
We have a members group where people can subscribe to be a part of. And in there, Alicia's husband just started a caregiver support group.
That's cool.
And I'm telling you this because if you're going deep with people who are suffering with their spouse's mold raging, like,
yeah,
probably the hardest thing that they'll ever walk through in this illness. And, you know,
sometimes I think when people realize that's what it is, I mean, that's really what it comes down to, right? Like, I just thought I was a really angry person, and I have a very patient husband. He's my caretaker. I've been sick our whole marriage, so he's very aware, but I never knew that part of my life, when I would get that angry, what it was. And now looking back, I know, and I've forgiven myself, right? Because I didn't know any different. I just thought it was me. And so I feel like once that's kind of exposed, people maybe feel better about themselves and understand that, like, this is something that you didn't really have any control over.
Yeah. I mean,
there's that side of it. And then there's the side of it where not everyone's willing to own their part in the circus, is what I'm trying to say. And what we deal with is, like, there's hypersensitives that know they're reactors, and then there's deniers.
Yeah.
And those two types tend to be married to each other. And
they do. Well, just slip some tinctures in and see how they respond with the tinctures being slipped in their orange juice or water and see, you know, because, like, that's really what it breaks it down. If you can break some of it down to kind of get through that crappy layer, and then the deniers start to go, okay, maybe. And I think it's just, they're really full of mold and parasites. So they're just really head in the sand. Yeah.
What I wanted to mention earlier is, like, the disease process itself is so hard, but it's like when you have to deal with a difficult spouse, it, like, makes things extremely harder. And then, like, if that relationship gets tarnished and you're sick, like, what do you do for yourself to, like, continue living and providing for yourself? So it's like, we see this all the time, and we feel like support is such a big aspect of this illness. If you don't have it, it really determines life or death for some people. And it's so serious. And that's why we really take what we do extremely seriously, and we are very hypercritical with everybody because we have seen the damaging effects of this. You know, people trying to medicate themselves in a really bad environment and where that's led to. And, you know, we have all these tragic stories kind of in our minds, and we're just like, we really want to protect people and help them. And I know that's what you're doing with your cause and trying to help yourself.
But they also have to want to help themselves, right? Like, we can protect them to a fault, I feel like, and giving them the tools and giving them all the information and then what they choose to do with it. And we don't, the thing that I try and talk to my team about is that we don't know what else is going on in their life. Just like you would look at my account and you would think, oh, everything is great. But really, I was very, very sick. Very sick last August. I mean, I started getting really sick at this time last year, but I couldn't let people see that, right? I was just starting a business. And so I feel like as a community of self-healers, we have to give them as much as we can and then let them take it out on how they're going to handle it, you know, because everyone's so different.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And if you guys want to join our membership group, it's free for a month. You can sign on, bring your husband. My husband is trying to build this caregiver support group because our caregivers have like no one to talk to. Like, at least we have like a little mold community where we can talk crap with each other and like, oh, my husband's fighting with me, blah, blah. But they don't have anyone to rely on. So he's trying to start that and get people to help and just try to gauge support for our caregivers so that way they can keep supporting us because a lot of people do rely on them.
Have you ever heard of Goo syndrome?
Goo syndrome? Is it, no.
It's GU syndrome.
Oh, okay.
It's a syndrome. It's an ancient diagnosis in Chinese medicine that discusses the health disaster that happens when bacteria, virus, mold, and parasites interact with each other. And the history of Goo syndrome is based in biowarfare. And it was basically like, my assumption is like some Chinese herbalist witches who are like, let's take their land. I know what we can do. You basically put a bunch of parasites in a box together and see which one's still alive in 3 months. And then that one you can use to poison someone. Heiner Fruhoff is an acupuncturist and an herbalist who has made popular Goo syndrome amongst American acupuncturists and herbalists. And his classes that he teaches explain how you need to treat parasites for 2 to 5 years because you have to continuously change the herbal theory to confuse the parasites to get all of them because they're able to adapt. And so pulsing different herbal formulas is his technique. And using this technique takes about 2 to 5 years.
Yeah.
Which I find so interesting that that's the timing because that's also about how long it takes people to figure out they're actually sick from mold.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. What you're saying is true. I wanted to share with you
that when I was, so I'm what's called a hypersensitive. Like I can walk into a room and tell you if there's mold there.
Same.
And that's what I thought by listening to you talk. When I was taking ivermectin for heart symptoms that I was having, it calmed my mold reaction. So I used to be able to go into a moldy building and my heart would flare right away. And I'd say, oh, my body's telling me that this is a problem. Step away or get out of here. And then when I started taking the ivermectin, it calmed that heart sensation. Wouldn't you know what happened? It dulled my senses to the point that I got neck deep in another mold exposure.
Yeah.
Because usually I can use my senses to stay away from it. But when I was dulling my senses with this treatment that I was using for my heart, I was chased out of my house and actually homeless 2 months ago because of how bad my house was. And this is something that we always talk about for hypersensitive people. You really, really, really need to understand what mold is and what it's not and what it does and what it doesn't do. Because otherwise, you're going to get on this continuum of like chasing your tail.
I was homeless as well. When we found out we had mold in August, we had to evacuate.
Well, what's fascinating to me is during the CDC investigation, when all these researchers the world over were analyzing the original clusters, which were in sick buildings, patients were describing to them, if I walk into a moldy building, I get sick. And not a single researcher in the world was familiar with that mold hypersensitivity. They completely failed to recognize it to the extent that the chronic fatigue syndrome came to be thought of as a purely viral disease. And they completely rewrote all the mold history right out of the evidence base.
Well, to talk about what happened with her, with Ivor, we don't say it's weird, I'm going to say it. We don't say ivermectin because I get banned and I have lost my account. So from what I know, because I've also taken Ivor, and then we'll go back to the mold that you just talked about. Ivor only kills physical worms and not parasites. So physical worms, and people that have mold poisoning that end up getting EBV, it actually is very detrimental to them. It's really painful to take ivermectin. When you start to kill the physical worms that we do have in our bodies and you start to remove those, that also suppresses your immune system because they live cohesively together, right? So when she was taking that and then it kind of pushed it down because the worms then started to get aware of what was happening and they didn't want to die. So then they were going to shelter in place. So I actually am not a big fan of Ivor. So it really sucks that I can't say this on my social media account that I don't like ivermectin. I feel like it's just kind of a good tool. But if you do have those issues still, you should take wormwood. Wormwood and ivermectin are very close together, and our body synthesizes wormwood way better than ivor because ivor is synthetic. Anyway, so I feel like we all do have a lot of these issues, and with parasites, and you take an antiparasitic like that. And then
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but were you talking to me when you said if I still have those issues, I should take wormwood?
Yeah.
Do you think you could take wormwood and not feel mold when you're in places?
Yes, I do. I feel like though, when you stop taking it for, 3 days, your body starts to kind of go back a little faster than with a synthetic medication, because our bodies process it at a lot faster rate than a synthetic medication. Synthetic medications can stay in our system for 72 to, you know, to from 3 to 7 days. The wormwood actually gets processed a lot faster. So if you took like a series of the herbs that are in Parify, if you took that, it will help suppress it while you're in there. But once you stop taking it, it will slowly stop suppressing your system, unlike ivermectin. And I know because that's what happened with me. I was taking my own kit religiously. And every time I would stop, within 2 days, my eyes would swell shut. And you can actually go back to last year around this time in my account.
This is kind of what I'm talking about with like Heiner Fruhoff saying treatment takes 2 to 5 years. It's like,
yes. Oh, this is a lifetime thing at this point.
Well, it's like if your immune system is warning you that there's poison nearby, maybe you should listen to your immune system and not try to silence it with herbs. Like, I'm a licensed herbalist and I'm saying this. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not saying to silence it. I'm saying that in order for you to regain the energy and help your mitochondria rebuild it.
To stop that feeling, I thought.
I said to help yourself heal is what I said. You got to let your body rest a little bit in order for you to heal. Your body needs to go into rest and digest in order for you to heal. So sometimes you do need to suppress it in order for your body to go into a healing phase. But I'm not saying take it all the time. I'm saying that's why you do these in 30-day increments. When people take my kit, they're not taking it for years on end. They're taking it for 30 days and then they take a break so that they can see what's going on with their body. And we learned that very much with me. If I had not taken a break, I would still be okay in mold, which it was wreaking havoc on my body.
One of Dr. Shoemaker's colleagues, Dr. Jody DeShore, is big into treating parasites. And she's done a lot of work on this. And it's interesting how she's integrated her work with Dr. Shoemaker's mold reactivity work. But for my purposes, I've always been curious, where did things go wrong? Did the parasites get worse or did the mold get worse? Was it both simultaneously? So that's kind of what I'm looking into.
Yeah, I think that I think that the parasites have gotten worse and they've held on to the spores and they live off of those heavy metals and spores. Like they're just weighted down. And I think with our country not washing their produce and eating raw produce out and not caring about testing water, you know, people go to Mexico. We'll just use this as an example of how our minds don't really think about these things, which they really should. We lost this type of education. You go to Mexico and they say, don't drink the water, but people are eating raw produce, which if they even washed the produce, then it was washed with the water. And then they're drinking mixed drinks or blended drinks. Well, what do you think the ice is from? Right. And so most of the hunt, we've treated tens of thousands of people with our kit. And they all talk to me personally at this point. This is all I do.
Wow. So, tens of thousands?
Tens of thousands. Yeah. We've about 40,000 is where we're at that we've helped with Parify. So they always say, well, I went to Mexico and I didn't realize that I had ice in my drink. And I'm like, right. Or did you have lemonade? Right. Or tea? Because all of that's made with water. From there. And if their filters haven't been changed or their filters haven't been really properly assessed, then the parasites are making it through. If they don't have a 1 micron or smaller filter, then they're just making it right through and you would never really know it because it's not as if you can really see the microscopic egg or maybe it's Giardia, which is totally microscopic where you can usually see like we would. After we realized what was happening to our water, I did see a few different times what looked like an egg. And I would say something to my husband and he was very much set in the sand. He did not want to believe that our water could have this happen to us, right? So that's just one little piece of how someone could get a parasite, especially going to another country. And then our water isn't tested either. So we're just kind of in the same situation. But your dogs, you know, like my dog had crypto. That's how I got crypto. We live in an area where still water creates cryptosporidium parvium. He drank that water. He then laid and hung out with us. And we never did like a full parasite cleanse for crypto. We only did the physical worms. So it's just a series of knowledge.
Yeah, it's fascinating that water was such a big suspect during the 1985 Lake Tahoe mystery illness. So they tested every water supply for miles around, and they found a few interesting things, but nothing that was common to the entire area that had the mystery illness, and really nothing that was known in the past to ever result in any kind of illness. So that kind of got ruled out.
But Eric, if they don't have the right test, how can they know what they're testing for? That's kind of where we're at, right? You bring in
the CDC and NIH and all the researchers don't have the right tests.
I mean, people have literally brought in worms to one facility that does testing and then a facility who's dedicated to just testing. I've brought in my stool to our Western medicine lab, and then I brought my stool in to an independent lab who just tests for parasites, and I was diagnosed. I was told I have crypto and roundworm. I brought it into the facility who is supposed to be on my side that I'm paying for in addition with my insurance. And they were unable to identify anything because of the fact that they don't have anything to compare it to. They just don't. And yeah, that's just, what happened just like with the your zoologist. Husband,
we had that same doubt about the water because we've been drinking it forever and we couldn't see where anything had changed.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So the same thing with my water, the same water went to the zoologist in Washington as it did to the independent lab. And we found out what was wrong with us. And since putting those filters on and cleansing like we're doing, if you took mold out of the equation for me altogether, I would be totally fine, right? I don't have parasites anymore. My health would be great, but that's not what happened. And that's not what's happening with our country either. But, we just don't have the tools anymore. We're not equipped with the tools as a country or as a Western. I say Western medicine because this is happening in Canada as well. I talk to people around the world. We ship around the world. So it's not like we just ship here in the United States. We're actually a worldwide company. But it just is to a point now where I think a lot of people are waking up to understanding that ecosystems are always going to be trying to take over our bodies, and we have to just make sure that we keep them at bay.
But it's just like you say, if you took mold out of the equation, it seems like you'd be perfectly healthy. And that's what we found. No matter what the parasite, the bacteria, the virus was, it was the mold that kept dragging us down.
I'll never forget doing mold avoidance and like pooping out like a ton of parasites. And I wasn't taking any.
That makes me wonder, where are you at with your mold journey? Like you said, didn't you say where you're at, there was mold when it was being built? Like what's the mold situation for you now?
Well, I lived in a travel trailer while this house that I'm in now was being built, and we have since moved out of the travel trailer. The minute that I got my toxic,
have any mold
when actually have tested the air, and we were really careful when we were building our house to make sure, because I've been hyper aware of it, and I've always had some sensitivity to mold, just not the extent that we were living in it, you know, like, and it's hard because I was so sick. I couldn't really sit and argue with my husband. I just had to kind of accept it at some point that I have to live here. We were ready to pitch a tent. We didn't have any money. We were very, very poor while we were building. We put our entire life savings in this house during COVID because we bought the property. We were doing this build prior to COVID. COVID hit, and we knew that building costs were going to go up. So we actually spent every single penny we had getting all of the supplies before they tripled in price. Anyway, let me get back to the mold. So we had nowhere to go, just like everyone else, right? And we were ready to pitch a tent outside. We had gotten a little money from our kids, and we rented a hotel room for a month and lived in there while my husband didn't get a full detox right away, because he had to come and build this house to get us in here. So
we've had really good luck with log cabins. They seem to be terrific.
Yeah, it's been great, man. This is my second build. I've done a log cabin before with my parents, and I really liked it. So we built our own this time, just me and him. That's the thing too. It was just me and him, like literally really just him, because I got really super sick. But it was just, you know, I feel like the validation of knowing where my chronic illness was coming from with the parasites and then having it lead to the mold. I would have never known about the mold if it hadn't been for the parasites. It led me to that next level, that next onion peel, right? Because we're peeling off layers as we're trying to self-heal. So we're just pulling another layer.
That's kind of what I was trying to bring up with the Heiner Fruhoff thing, because... Mm-hmm. When people realize that they have mold, what they don't realize is that remediation companies and testing companies often aren't going to give you the correct or most honest answers because of limitations within their own industry. And so you could test negative, you could have a remediation, and you could still be exposed. And I was shocked that Heiner Fruhoff's 2 to 5 years of parasite treatment matches like about the time that mycotoxins off gas to the point where they don't maybe bother people anymore, because that timing is pretty coincidental. And, you know, I had health issues my whole life. I grew up in a water damaged building, and I never knew mold could affect my health. So depression, anxiety, recurrent UTIs, recurrent strep, you know, that was just like normal to me, my normal health. And, you know, I never knew that I could be exposed to something that would suppress my immune system, that could make me more susceptible to those infections. And now the only thing that I do for my health is trust my body when my body tells me that I'm reacting to mold, and figure out how to get that away from me so I stop reacting. And that has done more for my health than... Like, I'm an herbalist. I'm a licensed herbalist. I have a master's degree in Oriental medicine. So all of my Chinese medicine herbals, some which were helpful in preventing, like, kidney stone surgery when I was exposed. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying they're useless. I'm saying I can tell you with my experience, and Alicia and Eric would say the same, when you are a mold hypersensitive, there is not anything that you can take that will preserve your health during an exposure.
Oh yeah, that's not what we're doing. Yeah.
And if it is ignored or misdiagnosed or mistreated, the consequences could be lethal. It could be suicide. It could be a deadly neurodegeneration disorder. It could be cancer. Pick your poison. But that's what this looks like through completion. And that's the only point that I was trying to solidify in sharing the way that ivermectin really prevented my mold radar from working during an exposure. Yeah. And, you know, I got myself in really big trouble with that exposure. Really big trouble. You know, and so that's just a cautionary tale, I guess.
Well, I think, I think the hardest part is that there is a community here where 50% say you have to get out, but what do you do when you can't get out? How do you get yourself and how do you get your cells to a point where you have enough energy to get yourself out? Because I'm seeing that most people don't. I did not have
well, nobody like voluntarily just runs out of the house. Like those of us who have left a house, it's like crawled out to save our lives. So most people can't really get to that realization without getting that bad. And most people will probably try to treat symptoms right up until the point that they think that they're going to die if they don't leave. And like, that's what we're trying to expose. We don't want people not understanding this. We don't want people ignoring this and trying to treat the symptoms. We want people to know what this looks like to completion if it's not addressed.
Yeah. I feel like if I had not been able to do at least 2 weeks of some sort of treatment once I found out, because I had blood work done, which told me that I had Aspergillus niger at toxic death levels. If I had not been able to do at least a couple of weeks of treatment, there's no way I could have picked my husband and me up out of our already selective homeless situation. Even though we were on a property, we didn't have a home. There is no way I could have physically picked us up, packed me, which we ended up not bringing anything. We left everything. We had already scaled ourselves down to nothing when we moved here. And now I literally have lost everything again. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, I do know what you're saying, because I've also been in that position where it's like, if I don't leave, I'm going to die, but I have to take this lymphatic tincture, because if I don't, I'm raging
so hardcore
that my family is can't handle me and I need to like tone down what's happening within my body.
Yes, that's
and Jeremy, see me on our shop if you need some.
Okay. Jeremy was like, oh, we're fine. We're fine. I'm like, but we're not. And you know what? I am going to go ahead. And I literally like called and made a reservation and I spent the last few dollars we had. At that point, I'm like, I cannot live here anymore. So I remember it very distinctly because I started pulling all of the stuff away from the house or from the wall. And I said, that's mold, Jeremy. Like, that is what's making me sick, Jeremy. And he was like, I know, but we sprayed it. We did. I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, my levels in my blood are showing it.
People in the industry, they think that they're treating it, but because the people who come to your house to treat it don't know the actual facts of what has to happen in many cases, that their clients are misguided. They think their home was treated, and they're still massively exposed.
For sure.
That's the education that we help people, like the people that fall through the cracks that far, that's who we catch.
Yeah, that's awesome though. It's awesome that you guys are helping provide a service of how, because we ozoned our whole place and I did it because I wanted to keep my chairs. I had just bought brand new Lazy Boy recliners and I was so excited. And so we ozone everything. The moment that the chairs came in, the chairs went right back out. The ozone did not work. It did not clean it. It did not help it. I immediately knew right then, like I was on the phone with my friend and I was like, the chairs are in. Oh my God, my face went red. My eyes started swelling. I'm like, get the chairs out, get them out of here. Like I knew immediately that it was bad.
That's what I'm talking about. Now this is what I'm talking about. This is the illness that I have. And it's like, in that moment, don't talk to me about what herbs to take. Get this fucking chair out of my face.
But in order to get to the point of me being able to say, get the chairs out, I had to get that mitochondria support. Thing.
I say all the time, look, I avoided a kidney surgery with herbal medicine. Don't tell me it's useless, but also don't mess around and mold.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people have to be able to help themselves. You know, they have to be able to go and do that. But if your mitochondria is so depleted and you have such terrible brain fog, how do you even begin to think about it? And that's really where we're at. That's where I'm at trying to help, is I tell people you can do this, this, and this. And I have protocols all over my website for safe ways. People are going to do it anyway. You can either guide them and show them, or you can just let them fail. And that's where we're at in our society. We have been left out to fail. We've been left out in the dirt and dust and saying, take care of it yourself. You're effed. That's not fair. Like, I have 2 degrees and I have been doing this for a long time in Western medicine. And I feel like that is where Eric keeps asking why. That's where, because no one wants to train themselves additional. They're so worried about getting sued. They're so worried about what people would think about them. Who cares at this point in your life? Like, this is all you get in your life. You get one body. And if this body is being taken over by an ecosystem, there are ways to fix it, but there aren't enough people to tell you how to fix it. It's not as if anyone has gone to school for this. Like, my husband was an engineer. He wasn't doing, you know, he didn't know about the human body like I do. So the combination of us ended up working out. And he's been exposed because he was an HVAC engineer. So now us looking back, we're like, oh my God, how much exposure have you had, Jeremy? But I think he has the gene where he can't feel it and he doesn't know it until now. Now he's hypersensitive. We went in. Our shop is in Arizona or in Arkansas, and we live in Washington. So we go down there like every other month because we're so busy there. We bought a building for production because we make everything ourselves. We make sure nothing has mold. Like, we do everything ourselves for our own tinctures. And we went down there and we can't find a place to stay. Like, every house we go into, Airbnb, instant mold. We stayed in 5 different places in 7 days. Last time we went, because as soon as we walk in, there's mold because no one is educated. No one understands. This lady that we rented from used tiki wood in a shower. And I'm like, how dumb. Like, you can see the mold in the shower from the wood. And I'm like, why? You know, you want to say, why would you do that? And then they use bleach, which this then makes the spores even more rampant. It's just the education. Even when I was like, Jeremy, you can't use bleach cleaning. You have to use peroxide or white vinegar. You do. And I'm like, right. Like, it's just lack of education. It just got lost in the last 100 years in translation.
It actually got buried on purpose.
Yeah, it did. It did. So did parasites. 1953.
Probably. Yeah, you really have to rely on original source materials because mm-hmm. people keep rediscovering the wheel over and over again.
Yeah. Well, and then you get someone like me where I would go in and I would edit books or whatever, or I would teach people about health, right? I was a professor and I ran 25 medical colleges for DeVry, and my word was gold. And like, if you misspeak or you change something, you just change the trajectory of people's health and understanding. Like, literally one little word would change everything. You take that one sentence out of McGraw-Hill's health book or anatomy and physiology, all of a sudden our heart's in our center, not our left. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just tweak it just a little, and all of a sudden it tweaks entirely for people. And that is what's happened. They don't believe in root causes in Western medicine. They don't believe that a root cause can be that way, when in fact it can be.
We just saw something on Instagram. I think Alicia, did you find that? It said, yeah. Can you say what it said?
Searching for a root cause is a trauma response.
Obsessively searching for a root cause is a trauma response. So if you really care about getting healthy and no one's giving you the right answers, you're just traumatized.
I mean, it is all very traumatizing.
That's all scientists and researchers, doctors have ever said, is they're searching for the root cause. That's their mission.
Yeah, I mean, this is
it's crazy how people, they seem to want to throw up roadblocks in this investigation.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than rely on what seems to help, because a lot of things help. I mean, no matter what infections, secondary problems people have, if you address it, it helps. So yep. When did this whole problem emerge? And when you have the entire world analyzing a certain specific thing and none of them come up with mold as an answer, that let me know that they probably don't know anything about mold.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, if there's no one cheering you on to study this, or you don't have a personal interest in it or it hasn't affected you personally, you just move on with your life. And that's how most people are, that it doesn't affect them. So they're not going to take extra care about it. And they're not going to look at, oh, well, maybe you're chronically ill because of this. I've been chronically ill my whole life. And now knowing why my mom had sarcoid, which is a derivative of mold, and it got passed down to me. So that means that I probably had a lot of this issue in utero, but you would never have guessed that, right? And then you take the heavy metals and it weights things down, and then you have parasites and you get all of the ecosystems that start to form in your body. And it really just becomes everybody's daily life. They've just accepted it. I had 13 surgeries for endometriosis. I had a hysterectomy when I was 29. I have no children. And looking back, if I had just done maybe a 30-day parasite cleanse, maybe I looked into mold before I allowed them to butcher my body and put me into a chronic ill state.
Can I ask you a question about like uterine fibroids and cysts and stuff? Because I've actually, you know how parasites can like burrow in nests and then they're cysts? I've been wondering, is that what's going on with like women's cysts?
What do you think of
thoughts on that?
Yes. So parasites and physical worms can actually cause you to have tumors and lay stagnant. So when you have stagnant, it like burrows around, right? And then it creates the fibroids and it can create tumors. They have proven that tapeworms can burrow into the brain, creating cysts in the brain. So it's not any abnormalities to have that because we don't cleanse here in our country. We don't do those parasite cleanses.
If in your opinion, like just in your like private thoughts and thinking about it, like, do you look at like polycystic ovarian disease and women's uterine fibroids and think like, I wonder how many of those are actually just parasite cases? And then follow-up question for after you answer, what is your opinion on the whole like cancer parasites thing?
I do believe that with a cleanse, you can lessen your tumor loads. So I do believe and have seen with the tens of thousands of people that have done it, that they have, their symptoms have completely diminished and gone down. So yes, I believe that PCOS is aggravated by parasites and can cause additional issues. As far as the C, I do feel that when your cells and your blood are not flowing properly, because parasites are in our tissue and our blood, like hookworm lives in our blood, causes anemia. And so I do believe that when the body cannot perform at the optimal level, at the homeostasis level, that it creates that stagnant cell, which creates tumors.
So you think it's more of like a secondary cascade? You don't think that the tumors are parasite balls, which is like what some people say?
I think it's both. I wanted to know is if you thought
like the actual tumor substance could actually be parasites.
I believe that it's 50-50. I believe that we have such a huge rate in our country of these issues that other countries like Mexico don't, right? So, and without having, and because I have a company and I discuss all of this, you know, our claims are never that we're going to cure anything. Your symptoms can go down. And I've seen tumors go down. I've had people who couldn't get pregnant after our cleanse, quite a few. We have about 1,000 Rogers Hood babies. So that's pretty cool, right? Because we've been told that you couldn't do that, this would happen. And even with my own personal surgeries and my own personal tumors and seeing what endometriosis looked like, in the back of my head, I always said, oh my God, that looks like worms. Like that literally has that oblique sheer look that when you flash a light to it, you know immediately that that is not tissue. That it's not scar tissue, that in fact, that is a parasite. And I see that now every day consistently because people send us pictures all the time. So I now know, and doctors are not trained to go in and be like, that's a parasite. Plus they go dormant. So people, oh, well, when you have a colonoscopy, how come they're not seen? Well, you've starved yourself, you pissed them off, and now they've gone and hibernated like bears. And maybe they're like that for a bit. Could be a year, could be 2 years. And then all of a sudden you eat something that either sparks their interest so they want to come out, or you end up making them mad. And so they start reproducing. So that's when then you have flare-ups. So some people that can go, like, they're finding that tapeworms really involve MS. MS patients in Germany get wormwood, and that is how they're helping curb the issues with MS in Germany. So you think, okay, well, MS, which neurology was my specialty. So MS is tumors in multiple different spots on your spine and then on your brain that inhibit issues from allowing you to function at the normal rate. And they use wormwood to calm that down. Well, now they're studying those tumors and they're finding that they're tapeworms and roundworm particles.
That's disgusting.
Thanks, Kim. Well, you survived a conversation with exposing mold. How do you feel?
Oh, good. I believe mold and parasites are living in our body hand in hand. So
for sure. And I'm glad that you came on the show today. And I'm happy that you've been able to pick yourself up from your situation, because if there's anyone that knows what you went through, you're talking to the right people. We've all lost everything, lost our health, almost lost our lives, and are grateful to be making a comeback and kicking some ass while we're doing it too. But I think the point of today's conversation really is to our listeners is that treatments, options, are tools. They're not the solution for a mold hypersensitive person. They're just not a solution. Again, they are tools that can be used to help you get through a really bad exposure or get you from one situation to the next. And so that's a really, really important thing to mention. But so thank you so much again, Kim. If someone wants to look into your TikTok account, look at all the products you have to offer, where can they do that?
You can find our website at rogershood.com. And I have my handle for TikTok is Mrs. Rogers Hood, and my Instagram is Mrs. Rogers.hood.
That's such a cute name. Thanks again, everyone. And thanks again, everyone, for listening today. We'll see you guys next time.
We want to thank you for listening. Just sending a friendly reminder that what we say is not intended as medical advice, but information to expand your thinking surrounding common situations and issues within the mold community. If you like what we do, please support us by making a donation in the link in our show notes. We also provide one-on-one consultations, products to help with symptom management that you can find in our shop, and a private membership group filled with a supportive community of peers working together to heal from toxic mold. As a friendly reminder, Exposing Mold is a 501c3 nonprofit, and every donation is tax deductible. Thank you so much for your support, and we look forward to providing you with the most honest information out there on mold and mold issues. Please visit exposingmold.org for more information.